What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Chasing the Hook podcast. Today on the podcast, we got brother Justin Sullivan out of Local 433 LA. What's up, Justin? How you doing, brother?
Oh, man, all is well, man. All is well. It's a beautiful day today, man.
I know.
It's starting in the Pacific Northwest. This has been nice as last week. It's been
really nice. We're pretty blessed this week, bro. So go ahead, just give us a brief bio and just tell us where you're from, what local you're out of, what's your book number, and how you got into ironwork, Justin.
Yeah, my name is Justin Sullivan. I am out of Local 433, book number 1522174. I've been a journeyman now for a little over 2 years. And I got into the trade from my dad, man. I'm a generational ironworker. My dad got me into the trade right after I came out of prison at 26 years old. I didn't even know what ironworking was, man. That's the crazy part is I don't even know how my dad kind of like hit it from at least me. I think my older brothers, they knew what he did, but at least me, I knew he was in construction. I didn't know to what extent this like was, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, like, with that being said, though, like, growing up, did you see your old man obviously coming home, working on some of those high rises in L.A. and coming home tired and all the shit that iron workers do?
All right. Well, so I should have mentioned this in the beginning is that so I started in Local 155 Fresno. That's where I got into the iron workers. And that's where my family's at.
Is okay.
155. I actually transferred into 433 close to, like, my first year in. Like I had probably about a year in, and then I was able to transfer. But yeah, so my family's in Fresno, where it's a mixed local, and so my dad actually did structural, and he did rebar. But my dad leads more to structural, but my grandpa leads more towards rebar.
Damn, so my dad's dad. Your grandpa was in. He was in the ironworkers too, huh?
Yeah, Buford. That's my dad's dad. Buford Lowe, man, you know, it's crazy. Like when I first went to the ironworkers, I got to see his name on the plaques, you know what I mean? Going into 155 Hall, my dad, it's crazy how much stuff I kind of let, kind of fly over my head when I first got in and realized like, man, like I'm honored now that like, that's where my family's at, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, my dad tells me all the time about when his dad was, and I don't know how true this is. I think my dad can stretch the truth sometimes, but he'd be telling me, he says, my dad was an apprentice running the Pine Flat Dam. Like, you know, man, there's a big old dam in Fresno.
And, yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I've kind of been like, well, I know I've seen my dad's stories kind of drift a little bit. So I'm just going to let him live with that. You know what I mean? But if someone does catch that, you know, and knows some, if that's true or not, that'd be cool to find out.
Brother. So, like you said, you got out of prison, Justin, and then decided to get in the ironworkers, man. Was that like your first? Was that like, did you know that you were going to get in the ironworkers once you got out? Or was it just something that you kind of just, you know what, you were looking for other things to do and just finally said, hell with it, I'm going to go get in the ironworkers?
Yeah, it's just like that, man. I didn't know I was going to be an ironworker. I came out at 26 years old. And I had my first job was, you ever seen those bell ringers that ding, 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 that Salvation Army? That was my first job, bro. Like coming out of prison, that was my first job. And it was a great job, bro. But that I had to speak on that later on my time. Yeah, I was doing bell ringing, dishwashing. I worked at Wingstop. You know, now I did a couple little things that were definitely not cutting it.
Yeah.
Nah, they weren't cutting it.
And so then you obviously got into the ironworkers. Obviously, you know, I mean, most people would say that's probably the best decision in your life. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, that, I mean, it is incredible the direction that my life took. I mean, immediately, I remember my first check and,
you know, you're doing some odds and end jobs. You know, you said you worked ringing bells for the Salvation Army, doing some dishwashing and stuff like that. And then you got in the ironworkers. What made you decide to go down to the hall, man, and sign up?
I was broke, man. I was asking my dad for money all the time. You know what I mean? I was always like I had hit my dad up for something. And yeah, this was right when I was barely getting out of my feet. And I just you know, my dad, he was there. He wanted to help me get on my feet. And I just remember, like, he was talking shit. He was like, son, just come on, let's go. I'm going to take you down to the iron workers. And I was like, what? Like, I remember when we walked into 155, the lady name was Sandy. And they instantly knew my, like, I knew that they knew my dad. And I just remember the lady saying, like, oh, is he going to be a solar hand? And I was all like, and I didn't know what they was talking about. They was talking, she was talking smack. She was like, oh, is he going to be a solar hand? And there ain't no men don't want her to be iron workers no more and all this. And I just remember that being the case going in 155 hall. But I was broke, bro. And it just instantly changed everything. Like,
so
I think go ahead.
So I didn't mean to cut you off there, Justin. So I was going to lead me into like your apprenticeship. So obviously you got into the apprenticeship, man. What was that first job like for you?
Oh, okay. So my first job was rebar, and I was working on the California High Speed Rail that, I don't know, I think that thing is, I don't know if it's ever going to get finished, but it was rebar for Martinez Steel. And, oh, bro, that was, man, I still can't believe, like, it was rough. I remember it was rough. We were running in number 11s into, like, you know, number, like, 40-foot number 11s into those cages, you know what I mean? That, yep, with the bullet. Oh, yeah, you would have, like, you'd have a bullet on the end, and it's just, yep, sliding over all the rings.
Yeah.
Well, it was tough, bro. I'm going to tell you like this, because it was midsummer in Fresno, 110, and, you know, that shit was hard, bro. I just remember my arms locking up on me. I remember, like, having to – my dad – this is about me and my dad closer than we've ever been was when I first started ironwork, and he had known everything I was going through and just, you know, started giving me the tips. And here's the secret, man. Pickle juice, bro, for cramps. You know about that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's better than bananas.
Oh, yeah. Oh, bro, pickle juice is, like, instant. It's instant. Yep. It's instant. Instant relief. But, yeah, I mean, just cramps, like, swollen fingers, you know what I mean? Yep. Just the pains that come with it, bro. So I was in rebar for my first couple months. But I was – first job was on the yard, rebar yard, and Martinez Steel, bro. And they were vicious out there. I ain't gonna lie, man. Like, but I see, here's where I feel like God's timing is perfect in my life, bro, is because I was in major shape, bro. I came out of prison, like, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't smoking cigarettes in there. I was healthy. You know what I mean? Yeah. I did five and a half years. So I came out, bro, at 26, just doing 5.5 years. I was the healthiest motherfucker on the site. You know, oh, my bad.
Oh, no, you're good. You're good, bro.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was the healthiest person on the site, man. And, you know what I'm saying? I think it really showed, bro, because I was really working out in prison. And shit, I remember my thought just walking on the job. I was just sitting there like it was hard work, but I was like, dang, they gonna pay me to work out. Like, let's go. You know what I mean? Like, let's go. And I was getting paid $17 an hour, which was fat for an apprentice, bro. I was, man, wait. Hell then yeah. They told me about married at 9 and it was over.
Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah. So, like, with that being said, Justin, so, like, you know, busting rods, man, you know, that's obviously, that is probably the hardest work. I'm not going to say it's the absolute hardest work in the trade, but it's up there, man. And, like you said, you figured out, like, you know, being in shape obviously is very beneficial to everybody to be in shape to go do any type of iron work, but especially being in shape, you have to get, there's work shape too, right? So you weren't just going to go out there and just kill it, but obviously you had an advantage over most people that you see nowadays, man. I hate to say it now, some of these cats are so out of shape, bro. It's crazy, man. But with that being said, Justin, what made you keep going, brother? Because, you know, nowadays, I mean, I don't want to say this, but, you know, we see a lot of people who just give up, man. And yeah, it's hard, dude. But what made you decide to keep going? What was your mindset in those days?
Man, I can't believe these dudes gonna give me this much money to work out, you know what I mean? I was already on that level, man. I was all like, yeah. Like, I was just like, oh, I'm just going to go to the gym for 8 hours a day, and was loving it. The first paycheck, I was convinced, like, this is exactly where I need to be. Then we started getting raises. Oh, man, it just kept getting better and better and better. Like I can't. I mean, completely, the money kept me. You know what I mean? The money kept me through the hard work. Like, you know what I'm saying? The bills, bro. The bills was like, you know, I've gotten to such a new financial, like, area in life, bro. I just really, I mean, shit, I could do the work. You know
what
I mean?
Like, you weren't going to quit no matter what.
Yeah. I mean, the challenge is the most difficult part for some people to really commit to, you know what I mean? And and wanting the money. But, bro, it came to me just on the level of fitness that I was, bro, I'm running 5Ks, you know what I mean? Like, the level of fitness that I was on, bro, I was like, and I wanted to maintain it. I was like, I'm built for this. And you're paying me fat. So it was going to be hard to get to scare. Bro, I'll tell you that. Well, that was one of my first experiences was, so I forgot his name. I wish I remembered his name, but what's it called? I go up on the site, bro, and I got my tools and shit. And my dad barely had taught me how to do a couple ties. But I remember walking on and getting sent to this crew, and they were doing the bigger, like, 8-foot round columns, you know what I'm saying? Huge. Yeah. They were doing the huge columns and stuff. And he, you know what I'm saying, that, oh, this is his first day. This is my first day, right? And I'm there. And I just remember one of my foremen said something like, he was trying to be like to test me. You know, he was trying to test me. He said something about like, oh yeah, have you ever been to prison? Or, you know, something like this. And I was like, yeah, but I just got out. Like, you know what I mean? And like, I just got out, but I just did 5.5. Like, and I knew that he wasn't expecting that. And, but yeah, like, it instantly, bro, like soon as he kind of felt that, like, yeah, I wasn't the, I don't know, bro.
You weren't that guy. Yeah.
I fit here, bro. Like I fit here. You wasn't going to, like, you know, test me on some nonsense. Like, I fit here. And they just received me, bro. They seen that I was a hustler, bro. And they taught me stuff. And we really held on. But, man, I really wish that I could have, like, you know, look back to that foreman, bro, and, like, just check in with him, man, and kind of, like, you know, show who I am today, because I have came light years and distances on who I was when I first came in, like, on knowledge and you know, just a whole lot. I get it. Like, I get the ironwork now. I didn't get it back then.
Hell yeah, bro. So is that, like, right after that, Justin, is that when you found yourself transferring into 433, or did you kind of say hang out in Fresno for a little bit longer?
Oh, yeah, I stayed in Fresno for a while. So that was my first job. I did rebar for, like, 2-3 months. Butted heads with my GF a couple times, just on some, like, my dad was so in my ear about, hey, son, you know, they're going to be trying to send you, you know, far places with no sub. Make sure you check that stuff. You know what I mean? These rebar companies are ratty, you know, like he would tell me. And so I remember getting into my GF and one time, and then he ran me off. And so that was my chance to start, like, hustling work. Like, I know in Seattle, you can't hustle work. Like, the apprentices, they're not allowed to go solicit their own work. But in California, we can. And so when I was out of work, bro, I just remember going to the main structural outfit of Fresno that gets a lot of their, like, schools and stuff. And it's a mid-state or O'Brien. So I hit up that company and, you know, he ends up pulling me on, bro. And, like, then I get my first structural job. And it was one of the coolest experiences I've ever had, because it was in a hotel, you know, like, probably like 2 hours away, 3 hours away, like, just kind of hitting Fool's Hub zone. And and, you know, just I was out of town with a great group of with the Raising Gang, and like, I don't know, their crew's kind of like Raising Gang, Bolt Up, Plum Up, you know what I mean? They do everything, you know. They might have, and they'll just they'll call out a welder or two, you know, once, and that's it. And that's that job. And damn, bro, like, being that was, you could really learn a lot, bro. Like, I was a brand new apprentice, man. Like, started right there, first thing, leveling the anchor bolts, you know what I mean? Coming to the job and, You know what I'm saying? Like, I was just like, wow, bro, getting to learn everything. Yeah, that was, I think it was one of the best, like, ways to start my structural side of my career. I don't think you could have done any better than that. I had a thorough look at everything, you know what I mean, from that.
Yeah, I've worked for Mid-State Steel before, man, and they're kind of a small little outfit, or at least when they came up to Oregon, when they worked in the Portland area, it was just, like you said, it was just a small gang. So the connectors would go bolt up, then they would go throw deck. So it was just these small gangs. And so, like, I found myself working for them in Portland and stuff. And so, like, they would just take me, man, and they would just have these little two-story jobs all over Portland and stuff. So I always enjoyed working for Mid-State because, like you said, I did learn a lot from those guys.
Did any one of those guys come out of 155?
Yeah, I forgot what the foreman's name, because, like, Rob Seminole used to run with the guy that owned CBI. He came from Mid-State Steel in Fresno. And I forgot the guy that he had GFing for him, like Todd Lolliman. I don't know if you ever heard of him. Alex Lolliman, they're from 155 down in Fresno. Those guys, I worked with them quite a bit up here in Portland, but they worked for Mid-State in California, then came up and worked for CBI, Columbia Bridge and Iron up here in Oregon.
Okay, yeah.
But it was a good little learning experience, like you said, man. I got to connect there. I got to bolt up because it wasn't a bunch of journeymen. It wasn't this huge job where you're just being the bitch, you know what I mean? You're being fucking, like, cleaning up garbage, dude. That fucking sucks, right? You know what I mean? I want to fucking work, but, you know, obviously you got to work your way, but on those smaller jobs, you're able to get to work faster than a big job, right?
Oh yeah. Heck yeah. That's where it's at as an apprentice, bro. I think I would have definitely had a whole different mindset if I would have first started on a big job, like where you are this gang's bitch, you know what I mean? Like you are this, hey, you the welding punk, bro. Yeah. Like, that's it. Yep. Like You don't get to go mess with the gang and stuff. Yeah. You don't get to go do other stuff.
You're packing lead all day. Fuck that.
You know, or I can't imagine being stuck in rebar for this whole time. Holy smokes.
Yeah, man. So did you start connecting right off the bat, Justin? You came into the hall not too long ago, and you're obvious. You got that perfect size for a connector, dude. You got that connector frame, man. So did you find yourself obviously wanting to go do that right off the bat?
Yeah, man. You know what? I wanted to be a connector out the gate, bro. Like, so once I actually knew what a connector was, I knew I wanted to be a connector because the lady at the hall, Sandy, bro, she had mentioned it. She was all like, yeah, nobody wants to be a connector no more, and this and this and that. And so, like, when I seen that conversation happen between Sandy and my dad, I was like, that's what I want to be. You know what I mean? Like, sign me up. Like, and that's just who I am. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I pursued that. This is how I knew that this is what I wanted to do before I went to 433, is I'm working a job in Soledad, California. It's what's it called? It's like borderline. I don't know. I forget what local is. I don't know if it's still our local, if it's like borderline 155. Or if it goes into
118 or something?
No, I think it's 378 or some, or one of those in the Bay. Yeah, I think it might be at the border of ours and theirs. But I was I'm working this job for Soledad for Mid-State. I'm working the job for Mid-State in Soledad. And I remember one of the connectors, we're in hotels and one of the connectors didn't show up or something. And I got my chance to work for my buddy Trey to go hang. And like, this my first full day, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you the connector today. And absolutely loved it, killed it, you know what I mean? Like, it was towards the end of the job, so the pace wasn't bad to learn, you know what I mean?
Did your partner come back? Did he come back and take your spot, or did they let you stay?
No, I kept connecting. I kept connecting. I ended up like finishing out this job, and it's crazy. I thought this story would always be so fresh to me. You know what I mean? Like, I can't believe now I have so many like jobs and things that I had to remember that it's like everything. I used to tell this story all the time. Like, I used to know real well on how I first started. But I know that I ended up connecting more and more on that job. And Like it got way out of hand. That job was and it was the job, bro, that we didn't have to tie off. That was one that was yeah. It was an actual job where they didn't even care if we went up there with harnesses, like yeah. like at the roof. And that was like, so it was wild for me to be able to start on that job, bro. I remember having the phone from the crane hanging on my neck, you know what I mean? Like yep. It was bad. They couldn't man it, bro. Like there was some issue with manning up that job for some reason.
Yeah. So like when you started connecting, Justin, what did you find was like, was there a particular aspect of connecting that you found hard right off the bat? Like, was there something, like, you know what I mean? What was yeah. something that you found difficult about it?
Getting along with my coworkers, man, that was one of the hardest things, bro. Like, when I, like, actually, this is like in 433, like now I'm hanging iron, bro, and I'm chasing the hook.
Yeah.
And I'm confident about myself. And one of the hardest things was, you know, humbling myself, you know what I'm saying? Like hearing my journeyman out, you know what I'm saying? I don't know why. I don't know what happens to people. As soon as you start hanging iron, bro, you know everything. You could do anything. Like, you know what I mean? And that was me. And I remember so many times, like, fighting with my coworkers, bro, like, getting into, like, verbal arguments, whether it's the whoo, bro, the phone man, that'd be the guy, bro, that'd be the one that yeah. would be, like, I'd probably butt heads with the phone man more than any other, like, position, bro. Like, I'm usually super tight with my partner, like, with my
the phone partner. Man, Justin, what's the, like, just obviously not putting it where you need it, or what is it?
Man, it's different things. And different reasons for a different phone man, but I know that sometimes they be speaking so low, it's almost as if they're not like really want me to hear what they're saying. And I like to hear my phone man because I can, you know what I mean? I can always adjust. Like I'm always alert and always aware of what's going on. And then so when I got a phone man that's like actually, you know what I'm saying? That doesn't talk with the mic super close, but he talks, enunciates clearly and all this, but is loud enough or he's close enough to us that I can hear him. You know what I mean? He'd be on the other side. Like, I just, a phone man phoning from like three floors down, you know what I mean? Like, some stuff, yeah. I've came to the point where this shit is dangerous and I like the person that's going to put themselves the most helpful, like, for the job. But safe for me, you know what I mean? And so I prefer to have my phone man fairly close to us, you know what I mean? Like maybe one floor down, you know, he could be on the iron or something, you know what I mean? Or up on the floor with us, you know what I mean? But yeah, but I've had just a bit bad instances where phone men are, you know, trying to phone from a bad spot where they can't even see the boom. They can't like, or looking through three tiers of iron when they could just throw a harness on and come up there or, you know, just stuff like that. But I don't back down. You know what I mean? I don't back down. Like if I say something, like I look you in the eyes, bro, like, and I'll mean it, you know what I mean? And I don't ever open that door to play with people, bro, where it could be misunderstood. I just don't do it. You know what I mean? I need people at work to be aware of work, man, because there's too many close calls to.
Yeah, you can't be fucking around like that. And I get 100% what you're saying there, man. Like being on a job, a story job at least, and fucking the phone man is three floors down. Like, how the fuck can you see anything that's happening? You know what I mean? Like, I never understood that. Like, or like you said, Justin fucking don't want to put a harness on because you don't want to wear your. It's like, who fucking cares, man? Fucking get on the iron. You're a fucking iron worker. So I never got that shit other than. They're just being lazy fucks, right? That's the only thing I could that was the only thing I could get to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I'll say it like this: it's not that like, and you know, sometimes those things, certain things may not bother me, but it's the one thing as like that's the position that I got into it the most, just because that like,
yeah,
I'm depending on you the most. You know what I mean? Yes. Like I'm depending on you the most, bro. Like you know what I mean? Like I need you to make sure your batteries is right, your phone cable's right, because I'm the one under it most time, like you know what I mean, and so I love them the most, but I butt heads with them the most because it seems like I don't know, bro. Why are you even gonna argue with me if I'm asking you for some boom down, man? Like I got the piece in my hand, bro. Like you know what I mean, like or Yeah, man. I've had a lot of with the phone, man, bro.
Hell yeah. I 100% get you, bro.
I love my phone, man. You know what? And I'll tell you this. I heard them say something. Do they call it Bellman?
Yeah, a Bellman.
Yeah, Bellman, bro. Like I had.
You know where that came from? That shit
threw me off. I was like, he's over there belling. I'm like, hold on. What are you saying, man? Like, you talking about the phone, man?
Yeah, because back in the day when they were running Derricks, man, they would have to use bells. You know what I mean? He would have to bell. That's how they would give their signals, with the bells. So that's where it came from, the Bellman.
I know. I barely caught up with that recently. I was watching the video and they were talking about, you know, saying bells and stuff. And it all clicked. But yeah, I don't know. This ironworker lingo is not like, you got to actually travel to really, you know, understand why certain things are said in these areas.
Yeah. So like, yeah, in Seattle, they call, you know, we call them cowboys here, snap clamps here in Local 29. They're called cowboys. Oddballs in Seattle. They're called banjo clamps in East, or over in, on the East Coast, or, you know what I mean? Like banjo clamps or some shit. There's a lot of weird names for those things.
For the cowboys, yeah.
We call them cowboys.
Yeah, cowboys. Dude. But they're made, What's the actual name? They're
snap clamps or like vice clamps.
Vice grips.
Vice grips. Yeah. Vice grips.
That's the main brand that makes them.
Yeah. When you got to LA, Justin, can you like you were hanging iron, man? What was the best job when you're working? Like, what's the best hanging iron job that you did down in LA?
Whew. All right. And so this is the good part, man. I think the best job or my favorite.
Job and then your favorite.
We got different descriptions. It might have been hold on, give me one set. Let me think. So yeah, bro, I actually hung a lot of iron right there. Like I bounced around a lot.
Did you work in any the best jobs? Job
what's that?
Any story jobs?
Story only No, not in like downtown. I think the highest job I did was like a 5-story. That was Cal Poly Pomona. No, the Cal Poly Pasadena. Cal Poly Pasadena. Or no, is it? No, it's Caltech. That's what it is. Caltech. That was like a 5-story. That was like probably the biggest job as an apprentice. But the best job that I did was the Oculus. It was the Rams Stadium. It was the crown jewel. It was the crown jewel of the job, bro. I got to hang that. The only apprentice in the gang. You know what I mean? Like, bro, that was tight, man. Like,
was it caddy iron?
What was it?
Was it like real caddy? You had to do caddy shit? Is that like
why?
Nah.
So basically, you know what I'm saying? It's the physical structure that holds the TV that goes around the whole field. Okay. And so it got sent out like in pre-built, I don't know, I would just say boxes, you know what I mean? And we had to, and they're like 2 stories, you know what I mean? We've had to put crane mats down and then build it on the crane mats. So it was just like 2-story frames. And, but they're already like put together and taken apart. And so getting these 4 points to match up. And I'm talking about these huge bowls, bro. Like, no place to put it. Like, oh yeah, it was nuts, bro. We'd have like 3 come alongs going this way, and then one pulling down, and twisting this, pulling the 2 frames in. You know what I mean? Like, it was one of those that I got to. Like, it was a lot of those. Like, you ain't gonna make it fit. Oh, I bet you I will. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was a lot of that going on.
Oh yeah, that's why we call us iron workers, motherfucker.
Yeah, dude. After seeing holes be made on that job, I'm like, bro, there's any hole that could be made. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just a matter of how much work you got to put into it. But you can make this point.
Oh, yeah. Like, if there's a will, there's a way, right?
Yeah. So that was Herrick, bro. That was the company, Herrick.
What's it like to work for Herrick?
Oh, that, bro, they is tooled up. They is tooled up. Yeah, I worked from the most rattiest outfits, bro, to Herrick, bro. Like, you know what I mean? That's the gaze right there. It's most rattiest, Herrick, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Herrick's like the American Bridge of the East or the West Coast, man. Like they're the go-to guys. At least I always heard that back in like the early like 60s, 70s. Herrick did a lot of work on the West Coast.
That's the big name that I heard, you know, saying in the last couple of years coming up. It was always Herrick, Shuff, you know what I mean? That was a big hitter. I know that Danny's is coming up big right now. You know, SME's always been in the mix, I came up here and I didn't know what type of companies I see when I came up into the Pacific Northwest.
So when did you, what made you decide to boom out, Justin? Like, I think we talked about you had family up here or something, but is that the reason why you came up here? I think there was quite a bit of work in Seattle though, right? When you came up, obviously.
Yeah. When I came up, man, worker, there was open calls sitting on the board right here in Local 86. And, but it was right in the middle of COVID-19, like the heat of it, where you had to be vaccinated to get on to certain jobs. And like you couldn't even do nothing without a vaccination. But I came up here. I came up to Washington when my sister had a birthday, because she shares the same. She's a twin to my brother who passed away. And so I figured out it was going to be their first birthday since my brother passed. And I was like, you know what? I want to make sure my sister's cool. I just journeyed out, so I was like, that's what I was going to do. And just on the visit here, man, I was like, you know, let me hit up their hall. And that's how it kind of just formulated, like, in reality, that's exactly how it happened. I just, you know, I was like, what? Y'all making, like, I think it was like 47 or something at that time. When, you know, they were making a couple dollars on the check more than 433. So I was all like, what? Like, I'm going to go take this pay grade real quick. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I got nothing to lose. Like, let's go. I'm a journeyman now. That's how it all happened.
So, like, what was your first call out of 86?
I know I got these twists and turns, bro. Like, so anyways, I come up here to 86 and I'm on the, like, I'm on the B list or something, you know what I mean? And, I find out that my welding certs are no good, man. You know what I mean? The AWS is, they don't really mess with it up in this local, in Washington, I guess, for that matter. They have Weibo, and so I didn't have Weibo certs, and so now I'm up here, you know what I'm saying? I could weld, or I could hang, or I could bolt up, whatever it is, you know what I mean? I haven't decked, and I don't got no decking tools, and I don't think I have my rebar tools at the time. But I know I could weld, right? And so I'm like, all right, well, let me get my Weibo certs. And bro, it was like, I ain't gonna lie, man, I had a big old like button heads with some of the management up here, some of the local 86, because I was trying to get my Weibo certs. And I'm, like I said, I'm this over aggressive iron worker that's single with no kids at the time. And like, I'll just go get the certs, you know what I mean? Like, that's how I felt. And so I called up local 14 because I couldn't, 86 was acting crazy with their welding booths where you couldn't get in, like how easy it should have been. It wasn't. And so I called up local 14 and I'm like, hey, you got a certified Weibo? They're like, yeah. I'm like, all right, well, I'm a journeyman out of 433. I'm gonna come through. I need a test. And they were like, yeah, come through. They're like, you looking for work? And you know, and I was like, yeah. I was like, yeah, I'm looking for work too. And they're like, well, if you already got AWS, you can go to Moses Lakes. And I was all like, they're like, we got Faust out there. And so that was my very first Washington call, was local 14, bro, stepping in to save your boy, you know what I mean? It was awesome, like, oh, you a welder? Like, well, instead of you coming over here and get Weibo certs so you can go to work. Now, all I wanted to do was go to work. And they're all like, well, this job will take your AWS. And so I was like, oh, yeah. So I got a dispatch just like that, but over the phone, you know what I'm saying? Paid my Adobe's. I stayed in Moses Lakes for like a week, bro, because this was coming up right into December and it was about to be their first snow. And I was like, I exercised my right to drag up, bro, when I got out of there. Oh, I know why I drug up now. It's because of this, bro. I know it's about to snow and I'm checking the 86 hall. I'm checking their work orders every day, right? Yeah. And in the morning you can see it. So I see there's a connecting call, a phone man call. Like, there's a grip of calls on the board from Evergreen. And so that morning, bro, like, before I even, like, go to work with Faust, I remember looking on the board, seeing a connecting call, and I called the business agent that I knew in 86, and I was like, hey, man, I was all like, this is my chance. You know what I'm saying? I can hang, bro. And so I take this, I tell the business agent, I'm like, hey, man, if I can make it down to the hall, you know, I'm like 3 hours away over here in Moses Lakes, but I was like, but I can make it down there. If I drag up right now, I can make it down there before dispatch is over. It's like, if I can do that, will you give me the call? He's like, yeah. I was all like, because they just want to feel the call. And yeah. It was for Evergreen. So, yeah. I mean, hey, if we can give you a good someone that you're asking for, like, that's how I felt the business agent looked at it. And so I made it down, drug up on Faust, left Local 14, came out here to, took a connecting call for Evergreen. And that was my first time, like, working in Local 86, was taking that. But I didn't even connect, bro. I phoned. Like,
really?
Yeah. I take the connecting call, right? And I'm hyped, bro. I'm hyped. Yeah. Like, I'm like, yeah, like, fresh journeyman, bro. Just ready to go, like, show out. And I get to the job, and there's two dudes that I was actually working with in Moses Lakes. They're from Local 14. They came together as a pair, bro. So those are two connecting partners. So I was like, yeah, man, handle that. Like, y'all, you know what I mean? Y'all go hang since y'all got, you know, y'all been working together and stuff. Like, and, but I took the connecting call. So they had to ask me, you know what I mean? I was like, well, you took the connecting call. So, you know, are you on the phone? And I was like, yeah, I'll phone. That's cool. And it gave me a good chance to recognize that I don't want nothing to do with the ring. Like, yeah. That's what it gets. Like, you know what I mean? Thank God that happened, bro. Cause yeah. Like, I think I was so gung-ho. And we're probably like was slipped up because that first job in the rain and the cold was just unbelievably, hands were numb. It was like, okay, I'm gonna have to make some adjustments here. Like, I'm glad I'm not hanging iron.
Yep. Yeah, bro. I mean, like, that's, you know, if I've traveled for work and shit, man, it you know, I've gotten people giving me shit because they're calling us fucking rats because we work in the rain. And I'm like, hey, motherfucker, I won't be able to pay my bills if I can't work in the rain. So fuck you, dude. And so like it becomes this argument about saying like you're a rat because you work in the rain. Well, you're a bitch because you don't work in the rain. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah. I mean, that's what we do here in the Northwest, man. We do everything in the rain, the snow, whatever it is. So
I seen it, bro. I you know what? It's y'all are better for working in the rain. It's not safer. I've had more like close calls here than anywhere else. But I tell you this though, when I go back into a dry situation, I'm on like another level now, bro. It's like, you know what I mean? Once you're like used to working in the rain and you're used to like, okay, my alertness and my sure footing and like how I go about everything in the rain is dry on steroids, you know what I mean? Yeah. And so once you're back on dry and you can let that guard down, it's like you ain't got a thing, like, yep. No more.
Hell yeah, no shit, bro. And that ain't no joke, man. You know what I mean? Walking on deck with your Irish setters for the first time, man, fucking that, it'll trip your ass up if you ain't used to it, you know what I mean? So yeah, man, it's a, you know, I'm very prideful that I'm out of Local 29 in the Northwest, man, because I think we have a hell of a lot of great iron workers here in the Northwest. So, yeah, man. So with that being said, Justin, kind of like you took that phone call. When did you find yourself actually, did you make it through that job and then you took a connected call on that next one? How did that work out?
Nah,
you ended all up right, working so, for Apex.
All right. So, all right, let me grab my coffee right here off camera.
Yeah, get you some, bro.
I need to get my mouth a little moist.
Yeah. You're a little parched, huh?
Little parched, man. Over here, I got this is my brother's cup, man. It's Notre Dame thing. Drinking coffee, bro, right now, bro. I'm on a different schedule. I'm on a, like, you know, baby schedule.
Yeah, so yeah.
That's why I was napping. I was like,
well, hell yeah, bro. Yeah, no, man. Being a dad, man, that's a job in itself, bro.
Oh yeah, it's been cool. Okay, so Yeah, so Evergreen. All right, so I'm just gonna give it a spill, bro. You can edit, cut, whatever you need to do.
Yep.
So I come up here to Local 86, and I'm working for Evergreen. And what's it called? I just remember that, like, as a matter of fact, yeah, I don't think we should get into that.
Yeah, yeah,
that part gets involved with me smoking before work. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I would love to tell you though, like off.
We'll do that off camera because this is gonna go to YouTube too, bro. The whole thing's going to YouTube.
I could just dive into how I get going with Apex and I was welding and called to hang iron. So what's it called? So I get with Apex. I'm welding on the 8th. That's the job. It's the 8th in downtown Bellevue, and I took a welding call, right? Production welding call. And I'm cool with not hanging iron or anything at all. Like, that's my mindset. I'm like, cool, I'll just weld because I know how to set up my umbrella, do everything I need to do. But this was, I would say, it was fairly dry. You know what I mean? Like, we're getting a lot of nice dry stretches. That's what time of the year it was. And there's this man I met named Joe Boyer. And oh man, this guy, he's a stud, bro. Like he's the Raising Game foreman. Do you know Joel?
Oh yeah.
Oh man, you know Joe, bro. So I mean, I'm gonna tell you, like, you know Joe, bro. So I'm gonna tell you this. I'm down at the safety meeting one morning, and I get approached by Joe, and he's like, hey brother. And I knew that he was the gang foreman, but I didn't, you know what I mean? Like, he's approaching me, and he goes, hey brother, I heard that you could connect, you know, do you want to come hang iron? And that was at the safety meeting right in the morning. And like in my head, I had my headphones ready, bro, to get thrown in. I'm production welder, you know what I mean? Yeah. I was on some level, like we chilling. And what's it called? But I just said, yeah, man. I was like, I had an itch for it, bro. And I was like, yeah. Like, yeah, I'll go hang, you know what I mean? And you know, let me grab my stuff. And next you know, bro, I'm sitting there hanging for Joe Boyer, man, and I'm having the time of my life, bro. Like, first thing we had to go do was, the first thing I had to do was climb this three-story column, bro, that has 4-inch, 5-inch flanges. Couldn't even grip it. Like, I had, like, there was a test, bro. The whole gang, they wanted to see how I responded when they said, hey, all right, go cut it loose, because we had to go climb up there and cut it loose. It wasn't no, like...
you didn't have a lift.
There was no hickey big enough, bro. There was no, like, we had no...
You had to choke it, huh?
Yeah, just to hook it. Bro, these are like 40,000 columns, bro, 40,000. Yeah. And the tower cranes, like, they had to do tandem tower picks, bro, on some of these columns. Like, that's how big they are. And so, when I first had to go up there and climb the column to get loose, I remember Joe and some of the other... people in the gang, they was wondering how I was going to respond to the climb. And I'm a climber, boy. Let's get it. I took the gloves off, bro. I just, you know, we had the ring finger, bro, and thumb, like barely any grip, but getting up there. And it was dope,
you knee, bro. Did you knee it up, Justin? Did you knee up? Were you able to get your lock in?
Yeah, no, I lock in. Like, if I'm at work, bro, if I can lock in, I lock in. I will knee up if I have to, but that's like last resort, you know. I don't want to get hurt, you know what I mean? Like, I trust my climbing absolutely, but I just, like, when it comes to when you got all these tools and, like, yeah, I just I'd rather, like, I don't race at work or nothing, but I climb strong, you know what I mean? I don't slip. That's the thing. People don't think that I'm like Spider-Man climbing up this thing, bro. I see a lot of people, and I think it's just more dangerous. It's like, you know, so you see people, like, even at work, like, I don't know, they be slipping, bro. I be seeing people, like, take two grabs and, so, like, take another grab, and they're still going down. And I just don't want that to happen, so I climb strong, man, and, you know, whatever's going to get me up there.
Hell yeah, bro. So, I've never worked for Apex, man. I've always heard awesome things about him. You know, the owner, he's a CrossFit champion and just a physically fit dude, iron worker, just a badass, man. I've never been able to meet him yet, but what's it like being around him and it being around, being a part of the Apex family?
Oh, yeah. All right. So Apex is probably, that's definitely my favorite company up here right now. Yeah, bro. I got to hang a couple jobs for them and be around Kevin. It's a whole feeling. You know, the feeling when like the owner comes up on the job site and, you know, they always tell it, but hey, you know, the owner's coming and, you know, saying how shit tightened up, you know what I mean? All that. But, like, with him, it's that same feeling, but times 10, because, you know what I'm saying, he's like super jacked and, you know, he has this level of like seriousness that's just, it's an aura around him, but it's also, it's almost like a facade, man, because he's the most human person, bro. Like when you get a chance to talk to him, like it was a great experience to see. Like, it is what you say it is, bro. Like, that family, you know what I mean? That Apex family. Even the GFs and the supers that I've worked with and, like, spoken to, they say high. They give them high praises, bro. They got – Apex got a lot of high praises in regards to how they treat their employees. And, they're always tooled up, you know what I mean? They always made it happen, man. Like, I don't think that I can say nothing bad about Apex, bro.
Isn't that where you were? Didn't you hang iron with James on that job? I forgot his last.
No, I didn't. No, I never got to hang with James. I was hanging with Yamada.
Okay, Yamada. That's what you told. Yeah.
I was hanging with Yamada. Best partner I've ever had, man. I mean, I love. Who would argue with me, bro? Like, this dude is a beast mode, bro. Like, just go off beast mode. I have never had so much fun on a job as that, bro. As with Yamada and Joe and Bobby, and there's just Levi, Miami. There's so many cool cats, man, that was on that job that made that's forever great stories.
How long were you on that job, Justin? That the eights or whatever.
I think about 5-6 months.
Five, six months.
I started hanging, I think we were on level 9, and then I hung all the way to like, I want to say 20 something, or maybe.
Top out at 27, Justin, with the penthouse or something?
Yeah, I was there for the top out. Yeah. You know, I lie. I actually was there. I was on the shirt, bro. The Apex.
Really?
If you ever see the eighth, the topping out t-shirt, you'll see me climbing up the BRB. Like, it was a different procedure on how they put the BRBs in. But that picture, that's me. I ain't got one of those shirts, man. I'm so sick. I need one of those.
So we're kind of getting around that 45 minute mark here, Justin, but I want to get into the social media stuff, brother, because that's man, that's how I obviously became familiar with you, man. Being on Facebook and shit, dude, just some of the stuff that you're putting out, man, just watching you connect and then watching you weld and then getting your drone out, man. How did you find yourself being interested in doing that stuff? I mean, everybody's got their phone, but You're at a different level than most of us, right? You're doing shit like not like everybody else. So how did you find an interest in that?
You know what? It first all started by, like, you know, just wanting to share pictures and videos with my dad, you know what I mean? Because we never got to work together. So just, you know, and that's how it initially started. But, man, I started doing more cool and cooler things, man. Like, you know, it's like I started just... just saying, like, man, I never thought I'd be right here. Like, in a million years, I never thought I'd be on some high building looking down and, you know, just leaving my print on this world. And so I started just, you know, taking more and more videos. And I've always kind of been into the, like, I've always been very social and open with what I got going on in my life. You know, that's always been there. And so when I was able to mix, you know, the videos that I'm getting from Ironwork and put it in with a message, you know what I mean? Something positive, or, you know what I'm saying, something encouraging to go along with it. Like, I was like, you know, this is cool. You know what I mean? I was doing it out of pure passion. You know what I mean? Like, just, this is a whole different outlook that no one's going to be able to get. And, I think a little bit too is, I think I was just showing off, bro. I ain't gonna lie.
I mean, that's what we do. Iron workers, bro.
I know that I took the steps in the game, bro, a lot earlier than most people do. You know, saying I was hanging iron that first period, and in the biggest local, bro, in local 433. You know what I mean? When a lot of people had never got the chance to, and so I count myself blessed for that, but I was showing off a little bit, man. And, you know, but once I realized that there was actually consequences to my choices and what I was doing and what I was posting, I kind of came under the idea of, like, you know, maybe I should just use this and to promote the good stuff. You know what I mean? Use the social media, the attention that I was getting for the videos, just use that to promote, you know, the good things, you know, the things that are worthy of being promoted. Like, I definitely took a turn, man, for how I was posted.
That last one, I think you posted it the other day, but you used a lot of different, like, masking and overlays and stuff, man. I really enjoyed that reel you made. It kind of, like, showed your, a bunch of jobs on it. And then, I just liked how you had that overlay, and then you, like, you know, your background was moving on that mask, man. It was, I totally dig that stuff, man. I enjoy doing that stuff on the weekends myself. That's like a little hobby of mine. You know what I mean? So I really enjoy your stuff, man. And I think you're doing good. And I think you need to do more of it, man, because as you can see, man, we struggle in the construction world. Not everybody, even to this day, knows what an iron worker is or what a construction worker does, man. So what you do is promoting that, and it's getting out where these kids can see this stuff, man. They can go do that, right?
Yeah, no, that's huge. You know what? It's all those little editing tricks and stuff that you were just mentioning right now. Those are all trial and errors, bro. Yeah. That's what amazes me most is that, you know what? Like, it didn't just start like that. You know what I mean? Like, even like as an iron worker, like with whatever accomplishments that I've achieved, I sit here and think like, man, that's why I'm like. But I just keep getting better, man. Like, that's the thing is, yeah. I thought I had it in my hands. I thought I grasped what there was to grasp. But nah, I mean, the more deeper you get into it, you start learning more stuff. And that's what that. Yeah, I don't know. I'm hoping that I want to be like the iron worker photographer or videographer. You know, I want to really like dive into that even more and take video footage and pictures of all the iron workers, bro, doing like dope stuff, man. Like, if I could mix those two facets of life, bro, and get paid like how I want to get paid, man, that's gonna be the next big thing, bro. And sharing the trade, it's in the works. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. And then, like, level up, Justin. That's your brand, right? I mean, like, what's like, where did that come from, and or what made you decide to go that route?
So, I mean, I don't know all the terms and everything that comes with this, man, but level up is just something that I've been really pushing hard out there, and that's keep getting better. You know what I mean? Level up. And I think the biggest misunderstood, like, concept that comes with leveling up is that it's going to get easier, and it's not. That's what it's not going to do. It ain't going to get easier. It's just going to get more rewarding, you know what I mean? But it doesn't get easier. You know, I think people get that mixed up with something else, you know what I'm saying? But as you level up, as you get better, as you get deeper, as you get, like, more entrenched in what you're doing, it's going to also become more a part of you. And then you're going to start seeing things that you didn't see when you first started. You're going to, you know, life has an amazing way of just mixing you up in such a way that you could manifest anything, you know what I mean? Anything that you really put some time and effort into, I don't know. It's just crazy. I also say riding the wave, bro. Like, riding the wave of the things that are going on with life, because it's
pulling up on you, bro, was like, what? Like, the timing, like, and you said, yeah, I'm going to be here. Like,
hell yeah. No, I mean, like you said, bro, like, once you climb one mountain, there's always another mountain to climb, right? So that's how I look at life, right? It's just that you're always trying to get better, like, leveling up, man. And so, no, I'm so grateful that you came in the hall, you know, a couple weeks ago, man, because, like I said, you're somebody that people watch and they look at. So, like, why not talk to you and see what's behind it, right? That's the whole point of doing a lot of this is, like, why are you doing what you're doing, man? Because you're doing good stuff and, you know, people should know why you're doing that.
Well, you know, if you were to question me like that, I'm like, why am I doing it, man? I'll just tell you this, man, is that at the end of the day, I just really want to be a blessing. You know what I mean? I just really want to be a part of someone else's story in the light that they could say, thank God I met Justin, you know what I mean? Or thank God that Justin came to work for us, or, you know, or we teamed up with him or something. Like, I just want to, whatever area in someone's life that I could, like, just play a part where they could be thankful for, you know, that's what I want to do. And I don't know what it is. Like, I do a lot of different things. I do tasks, I do, you know, music, videos, pictures. I do so many things. But everything, the ironwork, like, even ironwork, bro, it's all geared at just being a blessing. You know what I mean? And that's, like, that's what I do it for, bro. It's just so that, you know, someone, like, I get a lot of retirees that see my videos, and they're like, man, you brought me back into the moment, you know what I mean, of like, a good place in my heart and my mind. And, you know what I mean, if that could be a blessing for them, man. And, you know, touching on things that are, you know, in regards to the trade, the contracts, the politics, you know, things like, bro, I'm trying to, I understand that I got a voice. And so I'm trying to really utilize it to be a blessing, bro, and not hate on nobody, you know, just try to, you know, be a blessing. Cause if people could pick up and learn from you, if you could be a blessing to them, man, then it's just love for you, bro. It's just love. And I just try to share the love.
Amen, brother. Amen, man. No, I'm 100% agree with everything you just said there, Justin, man. And that's what I try to do myself, man. And, you know, just make the world better, leave the world in a better place than what I found it. So, but with that being said, Justin, we're kind of at that hour mark, brother. So, like, I want to leave the podcast with the message from you, man. So kind of what I usually ask everybody is, like, what would you tell somebody who's thinking about getting an iron worker or wants to become an iron worker? What would you tell them? Or what would you tell them to look out for?
Whew, man, someone barely getting in. I'll definitely say, you know, know the contract, you know what I mean? Know your books, you know what I'm saying? Know, like get a real grasp on what is coming to you and what's expected of you, you know what I mean? Like, and one advice that's going to be helpful is just, you know, be as physically fit as you can. And whatever you could muster, if you could muster some workouts, you know, if you could get your push-ups in, whatever physical fitness you got, a higher level of physical fitness you got in this trade, you're going to be better off. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to help you big time. But yeah, you know, I mean, I'm trying to think if there's, I don't want to miss out on that. That's a real good one, man. If someone coming in the train, tie off, man. You got to tie off. That's what it comes down to, is tie off.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%, bro. I mean, safety is, you want to go home to your family, man. At least I do. I always did. I'm not saying I was Mr. Perfect by any means, but, you know, I always had that in the back of my mind that I definitely wanted to obviously go home at the end of the day. So, that's one way to get there.
Yeah.
So with that being said, Justin, man, I appreciate your time, brother. I would love to have you on again, man. Just kind of check in with you, see how you're doing. And, hopefully, everything's going to happen. You're going to be blessed with everything you want, bro. So
yes, sir. Yes,
hell yeah, bro. Well, until next time, brother, brother and sisters, be safe.
Be safe, baby. Let's get it.